Good morning.
Good morning.
See, I miss that. Whenever you're in Tennessee, it's noticeably not here. So this doesn't have to be your last Sunday. You can stick around a little bit longer. Get all of your love from the Hoffmans today because they're going back to Tennessee, and then they'll be back in January or February. But if you can somehow tie them down so they have to stay here, I'll look the other way, but if you haven't seen this wonderful family yet, then make sure you do before they leave today. We're back in Psalm, in another Psalm of Pilgrimage today. So I know you've all slept since last week, so just a little bit of catching back up. Some of the Psalms were specifically a road trip playlist that were meant to be sung on the way to Jerusalem for all the festivals and feasts, to get you kind of... It's a road trip playlist. You know this. It's the playlist you sing in the car on the way there to make sure you're hyped up and ready to go. That's what some of these psalms are. This is one of those psalms. It's a pilgrimage psalm. There's a particular kind of joy that rises in your heart when you're getting close to a place that's important to you, a place that signifies life or welcome or belonging. There's something about going home that makes you feel better. These ancient pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem, they have known that feeling for thousands of years. They don't just go back to do the festivals because they have to, because God commanded it and they've got to go. They look forward to it. They journey over rugged paths. They go through exposed countryside. Their feet are sore. Their energy is thin. But that anticipation grows with every step towards Jerusalem. The psalmist of Psalm 84 sings from that center of longing, that anticipation. This is not just a traveler going somewhere. This is a soul going home. And the words lift up the beauty of home, of God's courts, the joy of belonging where God dwells, the blessing that comes to those whose strength is found in the Lord. And you don't have to look hard to make a few connections between the dots to realize that pilgrimage is kind of a metaphor. It's also a lived reality for anyone who's trying to follow God, isn't it? We're on our way home. Life can be viewed as a journey in motion toward a promise that is not yet fully realized. We're all on the way somewhere. That's not an escape from this world. It's just the movement through the world. And as you move through this world, you do have to constantly reorient yourself toward God's presence, or else you get lost along the way. The psalmist imagines people who have ordered their lives around that one singular desire to go be with God, to be sustained by God's presence. And if that's the one thing you want, if that's the direction you're moving, then your delight is not only the destination, it is the going, the step after step, supported by a strength beyond their own, the journey before the destination. These ancient words remind us that a life of faith does not begin by conquering sin or mastering knowledge. That's not where you start. You don't begin by proving your worth. It begins with desire, direction. It begins with hearts set on a road that leads to God. Before we speak of endurance or struggle, before we name valleys or hardships, this psalm invites us to rest in the goodness of a God toward whom we have turned our attention. The word of the Lord from Psalm 84, verses 1 through 7. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those whose strength is in you. Happy are those who live in your house, singing your praise. and whose hearts are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it to a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. A world grounded in God's presence is a world in which every step forward becomes a movement deeper into grace. Pilgrims do not walk alone. Their strength is renewed as they go. The joy of the journey begins before they get there because God was already traveling with them. But even on the most faithful paths, on the safest roads, reality presses against hope. Journey is not usually a straight line through peaceful gardens or sunny hillsides. Psalm 84 does not hide the truth that these pilgrims are passing through valleys that look and feel forsaken. Instead, the text names it the Valley of Baca, which, if you haven't been there, it's a place remembered for terrible things. It's a terribly dry place. The only moisture that Baca had by reputation was the tears of those who traveled through it. It's a place where the ground is low and cracked, and people who go there often feel weak. It's a place where marauders hang out to rob you. It's a place where nothing good happens. Pilgrimage means walking through regions like that, places that don't feel safe or holy. And it's one thing to sing about God's dwelling place when life is good and flourishing. It's very easy to enjoy gardening whenever everything is growing and it's raining every day so you don't have to water. It's quite another thing to enjoy gardening when everything's dying and you can't make it stop. It's quite another thing to keep walking when you have no joy. Disney is a great place to go on the first day, but by the second, third, or fourth day, you don't want to be there anymore. That's the Valley of Baca. Joy evaporates. The demands of the path seem too heavy to bear. It's just too much. Every believer discovers at some point that longing for God does not make it easier to chase after God. Faith itself increases that vulnerability because your heart will eventually desire what is holy, yes, and the soul can become acutely aware of the gap between you and what is holy. The absence, the longing that has not yet been fulfilled. Pilgrims often encounter exhaustion, discouragement, precisely because the destination, it means so much, and so that distance seems so far. And discipleship, too, can reveal the limits of personal strength. You've done this. We've all done this. You've opened up your Gospels. You've tried to be a good Bible reader, and you've tried to start your day off right. You woke up early. You read your Bible before breakfast, only to find out that you turned to a part of the Gospels in which Jesus asks you to do something that you can't do, that you don't want to do, that you're not good at doing. Funny how that usually happens on day one of trying out that new habit of reading your Bible first thing in the morning. We find ourselves asking whether we can do this. We wonder if we've misread the whole thing, if we're lost. We question whether God still provides strength for these steps that feel more like survival than progress. But dryness is not failure. It's just one of the stages on the journey through which every pilgrim must pass. To acknowledge this is not a sign of weakness. It's the honesty that sits at the heart of prayer. God's people have always named their valleys as part of their story. They don't quite take pride in them, but they never hide from them. The psalm gives permission to speak about hardship, to confess that even the road to God feels like a place of tears, where confidence falters, where resilience grows thin, This is the world as it becomes when the bottom falls out. When it gets hard to wake up in the morning, to get out of bed and do it again. And Psalm 84 refuses to let that scarcity have the last word. The very valley that threatens to break the pilgrim becomes a place of springs because God walks through it. The ground that once held no promise begins to produce water. Sorrow becomes refreshment. Weakness becomes strength. God is not waiting for you to get to him at the finish line. God is walking alongside those who are on their way, who are stumbling along the way. The psalmist looks at this difficult terrain between us and God's home and declares with confidence that God will give you strength for each and every step. And so that journey itself becomes a very miracle, which is a truth that Paul knows all too well, and he tried to say something about in his second letter to Timothy, the word of the Lord from 2 Timothy chapter 4. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them? But the Lord stood by me, gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and that all the Gentiles might hear it. So it was that I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. So to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's words to Timothy bring this truth into focus, near the finish of a long-running race. His life's work is almost complete, but not quite. The sands in his hourglass are thinning. But he has no fear. He has total confidence. And his confidence does not rest in his own stamina to run this to completion. He remembers those moments of abandonment. He remembers feeling alone, times when others did not stand with him. By his own account, he did not finish this race with crowds cheering his name. He endured trials, suffering, beatings, imprisonments, near-death encounters with only one constant companion. He proclaims that it was God who stood by him, giving him strength. And it's from that presence that Paul found a peace that stretches even beyond his own death. Paul's hope is not in completing the journey and doing it flawlessly. His hope is in the one who has accompanied him from the very first step to the very last. Because the crown that Paul awaits is not a trophy earned by his own extraordinary spiritual performance. Paul doesn't get a crown in heaven because he attended church every Sunday. He doesn't get a crown in church because he said the right words and did the right things and stood up and sat down and did the right sitter sizes in the pews. Paul gets a crown simply because he trusted God to keep him going. It's a gift that is offered by the righteous judge to any who have loved Christ. God crowns those who trust in God's keeping. God finishes what God begins. The psalm sings of a path made strong by God's presence, and Paul tells the story in his own life. He testifies that God does not abandon the runner, even when everyone else quits. And together, these two passages, they declare that enduring this mess is possible because God endures with us. Grace arrives in places that we expect to dry up. Help appears at moments when we feel alone. When the pilgrim sees a valley, God sees a wellspring of possibility. Where the runner sees the finish line, God sees glory awaiting, even if they finish dead last. If this is the God who keeps us company along the way, then our faith takes on a new posture. The church can live as a community of pilgrims and runners who trust that strength will always be given for the next step. So we journey with others. We don't leave everyone abandoned like Paul felt. We stay with those who may be in the valley, even when we are trying to get out and close to the edge. We encourage those whose feet are tired, whose vision is cloudy, because our calling is not to outrun our neighbor, but to be a witness to our neighbor. It's by our own perseverance and our own humility that God sustains every act of trust. So this imagery of pilgrimage and running shapes our Christian imagination. Faith is not a static possession that we guard behind walls. It is movement toward God, a movement that continues through seasons of joy, but also sorrow, clarity, but also confusion. Faith does not live in a vacuum without doubt. It thrives in the presence of doubt. Lives, our very lives, become testimonies of a God who does not leave us alone to deal with all of this. So we walk with confidence that this journey where we're headed, it's not random. It goes somewhere. It goes to someone. And every day invites us a new measure of trust. Some days demand endurance more than delight. And other days overflow with joy. But the promise that holds all of these moments together is the assurance that God stays with you for each and every step along the way. That God provides strength for the journey. That God ensures that the finish line is real and it's marked by nothing but grace. You see, pilgrims walk because God calls. Runners finish because God keeps. The journey is sustained and completed not by your own doing, but by God's faithfulness to stick with us to the end. The desire of the pilgrim's heart, the strength of the pilgrim's steps, the joy that awaits the runner at the end of the race, they all converge here at this table. In this meal, the one who has walked beside us now invites us to sit down and rest. The host welcomes those who are weary, those who have been sustained by grace, those who are learning once again to trust that God provides with everything that is needed. This bread, this cup, it's not just symbols pointing far ahead. They are provision. They assure that the God who accompanies us daily is the God who will complete the journey with us. The table is the place where pilgrims receive the nourishment that allows them to rise and to continue walking. This is where runners catch their breath and remember that this race they're running was not a waste of time, that it matters. This is the table where Christ himself becomes strength for today and promise for tomorrow. Here we meet the one who turns valleys into springs, who crowns the faithful with life. Here we remember that no step is taken alone. So come and receive not just bread and cup, but presence that can sustain us. Come and rest in the grace that runs ahead of you and behind you, because Christ is the beginning of our pilgrimage, but also the companion along the way, but also the fulfillment of our hope waiting at the end of this journey. Let's stand and sing.